May I speak in the name of God? Lover, beloved, and love sharer. Amen. I look forward to the Labor Day weekend. Who does not enjoy a 3-day weekend? However, because my day off each week is normally a Monday, 3-day weekends don't really register very much for me. But I'm pleased for all of you who have this opportunity to enjoy 3 consecutive days of relaxation as summer ebbs into autumn. You know, in the United Kingdom, we enjoy 6 3-day bank holiday weekends, 2 additional public holidays, Good Friday being one of them, and an average of 3 to 4 weeks annual leave. The average vacation leave in the US is 11 days. And there's an intuitive connection here to be fleshed out, as it were, between American attitudes to paid leave, low pay, long hours, falling productivity, and a plethora of societal ills. These include increasing family and marital breakdown, rising tides of depression, suicide and addiction, and rising civic strife. The American attitude towards work and recreation, indelibly shaped by the Protestant work ethic and the immigrant experience, is today something of a problem, adversely impacting the nation's sense of well-being. Thus, current polls show that people remain pessimistic about their economic well-being despite record job creation, falling inflation, good economic growth prospects, and a booming stock market. The Labor Day weekend is an important national observance. It is not only a well-needed 3-day respite as summer ebbs into fall, but also a spotlight on current work attitudes and practices that undermine the American societal sense of well-being. How many of us know the origins of Labor Day? Let me recite from the U.S. Department of Labor website. Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made in the strength to the strength and prosperity and well-being of our country. A yearly national tribute to the contribution workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being to our country? Really? In 1993, on the 100th anniversary of organized labor in Rhode Island, Rhode Islanders were reminded of the establishment of the first Monday in September as a legal holiday, the direct result of the 1893 financial panic, preceded by a decade of worker agitation. And so the General Assembly, under the prodding of elected representatives from various mill towns, finally joined the bandwagon, and Governor Russell Brown signed the authorization. Now, arriving in Rhode Island was a novel experience for me. Here I found the vestiges of an old labor movement culture, where certain unionized workers such as firemen, police, teachers, and other state employees enjoyed privileged work protections and assured pensions. That contrasted with the denial of these protections to the other members of the workforce. Following the decline of its industrial powerhouse, Rhode Island's failure to transform into a dynamic opportunities economy only fuels resentment as the tax burden to support the generous work privileges of the few fall increasingly onto the shoulders of those who are denied such benefits. And the economic plight of Rhode Island is bedeviled by an inward-looking parochialism summed up in the much-used phrase, "I know a man." The Washington Bridge debacle demonstrates the consequences when the man you know is incompetent and seemingly unaccountable. Not an unfamiliar story in this state. Rerum novarum, which is the Latin for revolutionary change, is the encyclical issued by Leo the 13th on the 15th of May, 1891. It was an open letter requiring the hierarchy to address the condition of the working classes. Rerum novarum discussed the relationships and mutual duties between labor and capital, as well as government and citizenry. Of primary concern was the amelioration of the misery and wretchedness pressing so unjustly on the majority of the working class. It supported the rights of labor to form unions. It rejected socialism and unrestricted capitalism, while affirming the right to private property. John Paul II, on the 100th anniversary of Rerum Novarum in Centesimus Annus, affirmed work as our individual commitment to something greater than our own self-interests, namely the greater good. If one flourishes at the expense of another's languishing, then we all languish. Now, the law of Moses and the teaching of Jesus recognize that labor is the basis for all human flourishing, because labor not only generates wealth, but it bestows dignity on the human person. And today we recognize three core psychological needs necessary for human flourishing: someone to love and be loved by, a safe place to live, and meaningful work. The regulations of the Sabbath, both in the law and in the teaching of Jesus, recognize the necessity for a healthy work-life balance. The balanced relationship between work and leisure contributes to individual as well as societal well-being. And the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the most politically Episcopal conference in the world, nevertheless cites 13 biblical references in support of their affirmation that The economy must serve people, not the other way round. Work is more than a way to make a living. It is a form of continuing participation in God's creation. If the dignity of work is to be protected, then the basic rights of workers must be respected. The right to productive work, to decent and fair wages, to the organization and joining of unions, to private property, and to economic initiative. Karl Marx defined capital as stored labor. And the mere mention of Marx is enough to induce apoplexy in the hard right politicians and their followers. But it's one of those curious paradoxes that those on the hard right, and of course J.D. Vance being the most current example, are flocking to the Catholic Church while holding economic views in sharp conflict with the social teaching of the Church. And as over 100 years of Catholic social teaching asserts, to champion the rights of workers, to assert the dignity of labor, and to confront the abuses of labor at the hands of unrestrained capitalism is not Marxism. It's Christianity. The accumulation of obscene wealth by the few at the expense of the many whose labor generated it has clear ethical limits rooted in our deeper religious tradition of the just society. And as we celebrate Labor Day on the first Monday in September in 2024, we might do well to remember the mantra from the HBO series Game of Thrones, paraphrased as, November's coming. Get it? Amen.